Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com. Moonpig.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
The tides of time have turned. The peerless empire, eons old in its control of the known universe, steeped in ancient corruptions, borne down by the weight of its own administration, teeters on the brink of destruction. On a small planet at the outer rim of civilization, one moonless night, every adult has the same dream. The dream of a chosen one, born in luxury, raised in hardship, hungry for a new world, and driven, always driven, by the need for the gargle. This is the gargle.
Hey.
Welcome. This is the Sonic Glossy Magazine to the Bugle's audio newspaper for a visual world. I am your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are James Nokise.
Hello.
And Alison Spittle.
Pew, 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 pew. Hello.
It's lovely to have you both on. We're going to put our oars in on each side of the paddle that is this week's top story. But first, let's have a look at the front cover. The front cover this week is Ryan Gosling as Ken in the Barbie movie, posing full frontal nude with a completely featureless crotch lump, embodying the epitome of modern Hollywood perfectly sexy asexuality in the smooth fullness of its glossy unfuckability. So that's fun. And the satirical cartoon this week is a BBC headline that I saw, and the BBC headline was, "Has influencer boob flash harmed women's boxing?" Which, as a headline, has achieved an incredibly quantum feat, which is to go so far through clickbait that I don't actually want to know what it's about.
No, no, that's perfect.
Yeah, it is sufficient unto itself. Do you follow women's boxing at all, Alison, James?
Well, yeah, being an Irish person, Katie Taylor is our like most successful athlete. So I went to school with a few boxers. They were like, they weren't different from other boys, except they go like that occasionally. So like a little Hot Wheels car or something like that. So yeah, I've been around a lot of boxers, and I enjoy watching boxing, but I don't enjoy it when they hurt each other, do you know?
Just enjoy it when every punch misses.
Yeah, like when they start bleeding, I'm like, no, this is not.
My favorite bit of any boxing match is where they both get a bit tired and sort of come in and hug each other because they're too tired to stand up. Yeah, that's really nice.
Oh, it's beautiful. Or when they drink the water and then they spit it out again like sommeliers.
Yes, it's delicious water. No, I like the hug bit because I think if they started the match with that, then they wouldn't have to do the rest of the match.
That's so true. That's so beautiful.
Our top story this week is Other News without an H. It's otter news. This is the news that an aggressive sea otter in California is stealing boards from surfers and riding them. James Nokise, you understand otters. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yes. Well, being off the Pacific Ocean myself and having the facial hair texture of an otter, I took a particular interest in this story, Alice. It's a five-year-old female sea otter whose official designation is 841. And she's been active in a surf spot, a legendary surf spot called Steamer Lane, which is also the name of your creepy friend's favorite porno. And she's been... It's very unusual behavior for a sea otter, we are told by several professionals. What she's been doing is she has been hijacking surfboards off local service. She mounts the board, sort of stares them down. As I said, her official name is 841, but the locals are referring to her now as the captain. And
I think that is correct. I think if you bully someone 20 times your size off their surfboard and claim it as your own, you are the captain.
It's an extraordinary feat. But I think what's even more extraordinary here is the cognitive dissonance between the US officials and the otter's behavior, because they're like, we don't know why this has happened. They've offered the US Fish and Wildlife Service says they... it is unusual, but they're just not sure. Maybe humans fed it, or maybe it's just hormonal surges. Because when a woman is acting weird, it's probably just hormone shit. Am I right, otter guys?
Hey. Allison?
Well, like, what I love about this story is that they've offered two different solutions, the authorities, right? One is hazing, which I didn't know existed before for animals, but it's a type of harassment where you would make the animal feel that maybe starvation is a better option than staying in this place, and you would have to harass the animals until they leave. Or the other one is, and this feels like the end of any 90s film, where if there's any 90s film where there's an eccentric animal, euthanasia is always offered as a solution. And I'm just thinking, like, any animal that shows a bit of character, like, don't kill it. Why do we have to do that all the time? If a worm wants to wear sunglasses, let them live. That's what I say. And as well,
what
as that,
90s films are you watching that end in euthanasia?
Well, like, isn't like any kind of like, maybe I'm retroactively misremembering this, but I always
when Free Willy jumps over the wall, it's covered in spikes.
Yeah, but it's always like okay, E.T. is the number one. It's the ultimate animal film. You got a small boy called Elliot. You got a little creature, and then what? The FBI come along and they just want to do experiments on it, and eventually, like.
Yeah, E.T., famous for euthanasia, famously short for euthanasia, E.T.
Look, every member of authority is eventually euthanasia. We do threaten violence. That is what we are as a society. So, like, I just feel like, as well as this otter, if somebody was trying to steal your car and you're holding on to it and then it starts biting chunks out of the side of your car, give them your car. Give them your car. Like this I've seen a video of this otter doing a surf hijacking. Not only do they get on top of it, but then when you kind of grip onto it more, they grip the other side and then eat chunks out of it. And it's just like, if you saw that in a prison, that person would be the king of the prison, you know? Yeah. There's no, they're the top of the apex, they're the apex of this food chain above animals. And yeah, sorry for I skipped there from euthanasia to prison, which feels like a very
well.
I'm
still stuck on the idea that E.T. is just a really eccentric animal.
That's what it is. That is what
the story of an eccentric animal that is intended to be euthanized.
It's a chihuahua that got stung by a bee. That's all it is.
the Macaulay Culkin My Girl thing. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I don't think the bees get euthanized in that. I think Macaulay Culkin gets euthanized.
Yeah. By the bees. It's the only film where it goes the other way around. My Girl is just a vengeance for E.T. And poor Macaulay Culkin got the brunt of that. When it should have been the FBI. But look, what can we do?
But here's the thing, right? Here's the thing, because we're talking films. Films have narratives. Anyone who's familiar with narratives, when they're going, we don't know why this otter's behaving so weird. The sea otter, there's about 3,000 of them. They're on the endangered species list. They were thought extinct until like the 1930s. This particular otter was actually raised in captivity. Like, it was born in captivity because its mum got too friendly with humans, which is an actual sentence from a press release that was not proofread. And so this otter comes from a people who have generational trauma through near extinction, got raised and kept, then was hazed off from humans last year, and now has come back, and the scientists are saying it's lost its fear of humans. Like, this otter is gangster. That's what's happened. This otter is from the streets. This otter is gonna, if they drive it off again, it's coming back with a knife.
Wow. It's like Too Furry, Too Furious. I'd love to see that film where it's just some otters going, "We're family."
And
then surfing in.
By the 10th movie, they're firing surfboards into the sun.
Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson shows up halfway through the series as an elephant seal. Just.
Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. If you're looking for a simple recipe for simple syrup to zazz up your cocktails, mocktails, or sincere compliment tales, you've come to the right place. Add about half a cup of sugar in a 1-to-1 ratio with the same amount of water and stir well to taste. For a complicated recipe for simple syrup, it's the same ingredients, but you have to gather them by the light of the full moon and mix them inside a circle of fresh herbs. The sugar has to be ethically sourced, including within its ethical sourcing an absolute lack of Western colonial trade routes, and the water needs to be in half a glass of pure heirloom crystal. It'll taste much the same, but you'll feel smugger. And a new novel is out by self-published romance maven and online bestseller Dancy Lagarde. The Seals' Sexy Seal, a futuristic supernatural Navy SEALs romance mystery with a thruple twist. Dane and Sebastian are SEALs, not real SEALs, but Navy SEALs. And brothers, not real brothers, but the kind of brothers you are when you're both Navy SEALs. They're bonded through the camaraderie of their elite military unit, through their shared cybernetic implants, and through an ancient blood bond ritual that should have killed them along with the rest of their unit back in the war in the unspecified place that we won't name lest it make us feel weird for romanticising these dudes or ask what they actually did for work other than sit-ups to maintain their perfectly rock-hard and mysteriously oily abs. Loose on the road after 20 years of military service, they're looking for the home they've never had among the people they've always protected but never truly known. Persia is a small-town operator of Heartstone, a homely roadside inn by the main coastline. All she wants is a normal life in her small town and no complications. Orphaned from birth, raised in an experimental facility, she is also a seal. Which is to say, not a real seal, but a real half-seal who has to spend time regularly both on water and on land, leaving her skin discarded on the shore. Business is slow, and she likes it that way. When two abstricken men knock at her inn's door during an ice storm, little does she know that they're about to turn her life and her vagina upside down.
Oh no, not her vagina!
Trapped together in the inn while the storm rages outside, Dane and Sebastian both find themselves drawn to the buxom Persia, both seeing each other's love and being too honourable to act on it lest they interfere with each other's brotherly penis. While fetching cocoa in the kitchen, Persia finds herself standing too close to Dane, mainly because of his extraordinary masculine bigness filling up most of the floor space. While selecting a book from the library, she falls from a ladder and is caught by Sebastian, who happens to be shirtless for reasons that are adequately explained during the book. Persia is torn by the reawakening of her sexual self after years of celibacy and equally attracted to both men. Heated dreams and scenes of individual furtive and variously guilty self-fingering follow on all fronts. But the triangular tension rising between them can never be indulged. Until one day, certain she's come to some harm while quote-unquote fishing in the freezing water of the harbour, Sebastian and Dane catch Persia coming nude from the ocean, switching her body from sexy seal to sexy lady, and realise she may not be the conservative girl next door they'd both sexistly projected her to be. Can these three sort of seals seal a pact between them for a logistically complex but mutually satisfactory thruppling? Can Dane and Sebastian resolve their complex trauma from the loss of all their comrades through the sensual embrace of a good woman? Can they protect Persia from the sinister wizard slash professor who wants to kidnap and study her? The answer is yes, but you'll have to find out how in The Seals' Sexy Seal, now out on all remote rocky shores and in all good ancient ballads.
Hey.
And that's your ad section for today.
I had a cocaine dream like that once.
it's one of those ones that you have to read. I think it's one of about 14 Sexy Seals books in the Dancy Lagarde oeuvre.
Now, in my head, I was just fully imagining her as a seal, flirting with those men and like running a hotel, like with a little hat on. Just
want to
say that.
I mean, if you are a man who is attracted to a seal, just make sure they don't get their nose under your balls.
I mean, that could be said for everything, couldn't it? It's a very sensitive area, and the skin is very breakable.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Floristry news now, and Barcelona traders have demanded action over the rise of CBD shops that are posing as florists. Alison Spittle, you grow flowers on your balcony. Can you unpack this story for us?
I must say, very legal flowers. The most legal of all legals. So apparently Barcelona's old city has been overrun by, what did it call? They call weed shops, right? Which are... like legal shops. I never knew this about. I've been to Barcelona this year and I never knew that apparently Barcelona has very similar laws to Amsterdam. So like there are places that you can go to that you can smoke weed, but there's lots of rules, and it's not the authorities do raid sometimes. So it's like it's semi-legal in a way. They do exist. And apparently there's loads of parts of old Barcelona that have been taken over by cannabis shops. But they call it, because it's kind of semi-legal, they can't tell the council it's weed shops. So what they say it is that they're florists, because weeds are a type of flower. And the stuff that they sell seeds, they sell lamps, they sell a load of CBD oil, which I have been told, like, does CBD oil actually work? Because, like, I get told by some people it does and some people it doesn't. And both of those people I trust is like hypnotism in a way. I'm just very confused. What there are complaints about is that the THC, which makes you high, is not involved in a lot of products, but it is involved in some products. So it is an ingredient in cannabis that produces a high, and they sell lollipops that have THC in it, like some of these shops, which I think to get high via lollipop is probably the most uncoolest way to get high. Like, I would rather a suppository. Like, if you could give me THC in a suppository that I had to take publicly, I would rather do that than suck a lollipop, to be honest with you.
Any lollipop is a suppository if you're using it wrong.
I suppose, Alice, there is that old saying, anything is a suppository if you try hard enough, you know?
Yeah, as all of my doctor friends who've ever worked in an emergency department are eager to tell you. I think my favourite part of this story is that 118 new florists have opened in Ciudad Vella, which is the suburb in which these florists, quote-unquote florists, are all opening. But Barcelona's Florist Association, on being approached, says it is unaware of any boom in flower selling. James?
I like the part where they're like, look, we are florists who just happen to sell bongs and THC lollies. Because, as we all know, a bong is just an emergency vase waiting to happen.
Oh, wow. That'd be the grimmest Mother's Day ever. Just some stoner young lad giving his mum some flowers in a bong.
Flowers in a bong. Flowers in a bong sounds like a 1970s like anthem of some sort.
It really does. Yeah. It's interesting. I went to Barcelona this year and didn't notice that phenomenon at all. But I was just very interested in tapas, to be honest with you. Like, I feel very uncool.
Well, who's going to Barcelona to buy flowers? Like, that's the weirdest thing about it being a tourist trap. Like people go, oh yeah, they're setting up to trap the tourists. Like, but no tourist is like going anywhere in the Mediterranean and going, oh, and we must buy flowers while we're here.
Well, I have a friend who, when she travels, buys flowers because she has cats, and the cats will eat the flowers if she buys them at home. So when she's away from home, when the cat's away or when the person's away from the cat, the mice will buy flowers.
Wow.
Yep, that's a very bad story. But yeah, it was relevant, and so I thought it might be interesting, and then I said it and it wasn't interesting, so I apologize.
That is interesting, don't you? I'm just, there was a part of me that paused because I was like, how long is your friend staying in a place? I suppose maybe if it's a week or two, you are getting the best of those flowers. Your friend is dead right, and don't you ever second guess yourself about what is interesting, what isn't interesting.
Thank
if it
you.
Comes out of your mouth, Alice, it's interesting.
Now it's time for your reviews. As you know, each week we ask our guest editors to bring in something to review out of 5 stars. James, what have you brought in for us this week?
Look, I've bought a combination. It's this haircut, which I got today, and it's very sharp. You'll see he lined me up. Amazing hair. Probably one of the best barbers in the world. Does, you know, I won't say his name out of respect and love.
Because you wouldn't want to advertise him.
But 1 star, because while he was lining me up, and if for listeners who don't know what that means, it's when they get the razor blade and make sure it's really nice and high. He goes, are you doing a podcast tonight? Because we've been talking. I go, yeah, yeah. He goes, oh, look, I've been listening to this podcast. And he interviewed that guy, Andrew Tate. And man, you know, there's some good points. And just started going off to me about the other side of the Andrew Tate case and how we've got... Now, you and listeners might be going, well, surely you rebutted. No, because he had a razor blade to my temple while he's saying the most outrageous, outlandish stuff I'd heard. And he's been my barber for years. When I'm in New Zealand, he's my guy. We've never had anywhere close to this kind of conversation. And so I've got to give him, I can't give him 0 stars because it's a good fade and it's lined up properly. But... I can't give him 5 stars because rape apology and human trafficking. So one star for my barber today.
Oh, I get that. I feel like if anyone is going to interview Andrew Tate, the only question they ought to ask him is, have you ever done anything good for anyone in your whole life? Because even the things on which he prides himself are just sleazy, seedy, disgusting, exploitative behaviours in order to get power over more people who he then exploits and makes worse. Like, I just don't think he's ever made anyone's life better in the world.
Now, look, just for anyone who thinks I'm crowbarring Andrew Tate into this, this is how we got to Andrew Tate. Are you doing a podcast? I've been listening to a podcast. The podcast is for tax advice. It's a US tax advice, and he's a New Zealand citizen, but I couldn't point that out because razor blade to my temple. On the podcast, they interviewed Andrew Tate. We have never talked anything around Andrew Tate or any toxic mask, any of that stuff. We usually just talk about Taika Waititi films and the All Blacks like every other New Zealand barbershop. Somehow, we ended up on the Cobra.
Alison, what have you brought in for us to review this week?
So many times, I think probably my most inspired reviews have been ones that have been very last minute. And so today I thought I would review The Act of Scatting. So scatting is improvised mouth noises. and I'm going to do that for you right now. We'll review it together. Okay. I'm living my Kim Cattrall era. Okay, three, two, a 3, 2, 1. A beep ba, a bow, a ba ba do, chicken out, so I think if we could listen to that, I'm gonna give that, yeah, a 3 out of 5.
I mean, I would have that as my ringtone, so which I think is the qualification for good scatting.
Could you imagine being in a theater, watching a play now? Beep, ba, a beep, boop, a beep, boop, boop, scuttler,
Can you imagine being in bed with someone?
Well, I mean, if they were doing that seal trick where they've got their nose on your balls, then maybe that's the sound that you would make.
Or like, Can you imagine that's the last sound you hear before you hear the worst news you've ever heard in your life? So you're like, I wonder, beep, ba, ba, bo, ba, 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 ba. Oh, I wonder who this is. Hello?
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. It's the local police. What? Oh, my God.
There was like a famous Italian song. I don't know if you guys have seen it. And it was an Italian comedian. And he made a song kind of like that, of just like English words to prove that in Italy,
oh,
back in
so
like the
good.
70s.
It's so yeah. good.
It's so funny because it's like, and everyone's like, yeah, it was like a number one hit in Italy. And it's just nonsense.
It's extraordinary, and the music video is excellent.
Incredible.
It does an incredibly existential job of unanchoring meaning from reality, but in a joyous way.
Incredible.
It feels like, yeah, the perfect distillation of positive nihilism, and I'm for it. So how many stars?
I'm going to go 3 out of 5 because I think it would be hubris to mark myself and my art as an, I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5. Well, I'll give you a 5 out of 5 for your scatting. Just off the top of the head, you didn't even warm up. You weren't even in a jazz club. You're not even wearing a beret. You haven't got any of the equipment, which is normally for the, you know, high wire act of scatting. You need to have all of the safety equipment on, and you've managed to do it freewheeling and off the top of your dome. So 5 stars from me. I also have brought in a review this week. Unusually, I have brought in a review, and I would like to review having your Airbnb broken into and all of your audio equipment stolen, which is what happened to me this week. We went away for the weekend to visit some friends, and my dad arrived from Sydney to our flat, and we had left the key with a local business person. And he took the key and approached the door, but it was unnecessary for him to have the key to open the door because the door had been kicked in and all of our stuff had been overturned and rummaged, and I now have no stuff. So, upsides, it wasn't me coming back from a trip with my toddler on my hip to find a kicked in door. Downsides, it was my dad after a 26-hour flight, which is the last time in the world that you want to be dealing with, like, an emergency locksmith. So I'm going to give it 0.5 of a star. 0.5 of a star for getting all your stuff nicked while away on a delightful holiday. The holiday was good, though, so maybe 1 star. But the upside, which might redeem this whole experience, is that this podcast at the moment I am doing on a boat... I'm on a canal boat quite near to where I'm staying, and it's delightful because last year this time last year I was staying on a boat, and I would walk past this podcasting boat every day, and I would think, I should do a podcast on the podcasting boat. Wouldn't that be fun? And despite all of the terrible circumstances that have led to that being the case now, I am now on the podcasting boat, and it's a delight. I think it's called the Pod Boat or the Boat Pod, and I don't think it would be a Google problem because I can't imagine very many of them exist. James?
Look, we've been friends for a long time now, but I have to say, sometimes, Alice, I go, what is your life?
What is my life? So this isn't the first time I've done a podcast on the boat, because last year, I was on a boat and also doing podcasts, but this is a specific podcasting boat, and you probably can tell from the audio quality that it is a specialized podcasting boat. Can't even hear the geese that are having a fight outside right now. That's how optimized it is.
Incredible. On the boat pod, no one can hear you scream. It's like space. It's incredible.
And that brings us to the end of our review section. Now it's time for your mystery news. And this is in a thing that should be in an Agatha Christie novel but isn't. More than 100 tourists were trapped for several hours in the former home of famed British mystery writer Agatha Christie. So I feel, you know, that's a pretty exciting scenario for murder. Unfortunately for all of us, but fortunately for all of them, no one was murdered during the process of this being trapped briefly in the house as a stormy weather knocked over a tree blocking the road, which would have let them out. James Nokise, you understand the dark heart of British mystery writing. Can you unpack this story for us?
Well, look, as you said, it was over 100 people who a tree fell down, blocking the way out in Greenway, which is the name of Agatha Christie's former house, where she spent a lot of time playing clock golf. Whatever upper class British shit that is, croquet, and of course thinking up complicated ways to murder people. It wasn't just tourists. There were staff, there were volunteers, and one small Belgian with a large moustache who kept on asking people questions about the fallen tree and their whereabouts on it. They apparently passed the time, as it was hours, and this is from reports, just drinking tea, which is the most British thing. And more importantly, they were praising that the tea was free, which is it's almost too British to be stuck in a mystery writer's house drinking free tea. I mean, this is pretty cool, man. This is what we paid the big bucks for.
I mean, this was reported to Devon Live, which is the local news station, by a woman called Carolyn Heaven.
If I can just stop you there, Alice. Devon Live is actually an oxymoron. Nothing in Devon feels alive. It is one of the most boring places in the United Kingdom.
Well, she reported this whole situation. She was saying she was very grateful to the staff at the Agatha Christie House who were looking after the tourists for giving them this free tea. But she commented that it's all a bit bleak, which I think, I feel like you're getting your money's worth in an English country home if it's a bit bleak.
Yeah, what do you expect? It's England. with respect to our many employers, but it's England. Of course it's bleak. That's why you came.
I mean, if I was a tourist on that trip, I would kill someone. It would just the opportunity would feel too
just
great.
For bragging rights.
Yeah, I feel like Agatha would be screaming in my head, going, please, for me, kill someone. So, yeah, and it's always like people get murdered in Agatha Christie, in any kind of British detective drama, in such fiendish ways. Do you know what I mean? And it's always over a will. Or an employment dispute. Like, it's never really a crime of passion, any of these Agatha Christie kind of things. It's always a disgruntled butler. And maybe the tree...
Well, I mean, yeah, I feel like it would be a fairly short mystery book if the detectives walk in and there's a lady standing over the body of her husband holding a large metal teapot and looking guilty.
But it'd be more realistic. Do you know what I mean? It's always.
Unless she's not the murderer, in which case that's a great book. Someone write that book.
Like, it's always like a groundskeeper that does like an incredible poisoning plot by putting too many apple seeds in an apple by growing for a couple of years. Like, he grows an apple that has so many apple seeds in it that like the cyanide becomes too much. And kills this one person. Like, it feels like it's always that kind of plot. I love it as well that these people are blocked in by a tree. Like, they could leave any other exit, I'm sure. Like, they said they were trapped, but they basically were just waiting for help in a warm, sheltered place.
They chose that. Yeah. It's 100 people can lift a tree. Come on.
Work together. Or start the Thunderdome that you're all hoping will happen.
Oh, I'd love that.
I mean, you're right. I think someone could have died at the Agatha Christie house. I just think that if you are someone who wants to murder someone, you wouldn't do it at Agatha Christie's house because no one would believe that it was real.
I would hate to die at Agatha Christie's house. I am always afraid of dying in an ironic way. I think I people don't want horrific deaths or to have lonely deaths. I don't want to have an ironic death, you know?
You'd prefer horrific to ironic?
Yeah, yeah. I want someone, like, when they hear about my death, to either go, oh, or, oh, no. You know what I mean? I don't want that kind of noise.
So you prefer your last thoughts were, oh, no, instead of, I can't believe it.
Exactly. I would rather if someone reacted to my death and go, oh, my God, no, then, you know, oh.
Now it's time for our private jet news, and this is the news that the small town of Sun Valley in Idaho is apparently hosting what is called the Summer Camp for Billionaires, Allen & Co.'s annual conference. So there's so many private jets piling up that they're having to stack them on top of each other like chips. Alison Spittle, you understand billionaires. Can you unpack this story for us?
Well, if there was ever a place that needed an Agatha Christie style death, we've got it right here. So this place, this is a small, it's, what's it called? Sunny Valley, is it? Is that what it's called?
Sun Valley, yeah.
Sun Valley in Idaho. It's a small place that hosts a conference every year, hosted by this company called Allen & Co., I think it's called, which I'd never heard of before and had to Google. And that's when you know it's a billionaire high quality company. When the lay person hasn't heard of it. Like if I've heard of Lancome, I've heard of Hermes, I've heard of HSBC. That's all.
That's all you've heard of.
Yeah, that's all. That's the only. Yeah,
that's my it's very hard companies. To cobble together a meal.
But like, you know, they're supposed to be a high quality product, but I've heard of it. So yeah. I know that billionaires don't use it. They use like soap made by Futelstein and Co. or whatever. And this is like, this is an annual conference that's been happening since the 80s. And it's hosted the worst of the worst bastards of all time. And this year is no different. And I love that they call it a summer camp for billionaires, because at summer camp, you know, you're going to make like a macaroni pasta shape paintings and stuff. But at this billionaire camp, like, I don't know officially, but there's definitely been at least 5 human sacrifices, I'd say, since the 1980s. Just has to be.
Yeah, in a normal children's summer camp, there's only one or two. Well, yeah. Apparently most of the incoming flights are operated by a private charter company, because billionaires have now clocked onto the fact that with satellite imaging, people can track their planes. And, you know, having to lodge flight plans means that, you know, there are all these online flight trackers. So at least community work has meant that billionaires can't fly their own private jets anymore and they have to rent one, which is, I don't know. I don't know why that's satisfying to me, but it is.
I know, because it's definitely been soiled. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah. You're going to go in and you're going to just smell Bill Gates off it. You're going to be like, this is not the luxury that I wanted. Isn't it mad that, like, billionaires are aware that we can see them and we can follow and track their whereabouts, yet they will not change their behavior in destroying the earth. They're like, we'll just rent a jet instead of being nicer and, you know, not causing a climate crisis.
I don't like the idea of anyone sort of feeling unsafe or anything, but also the fact that billionaires are constantly tracking our whereabouts using our devices. It does feel a little bit like turnabout is fair play. James?
Oh, look, I'm still looking forward to the announcement next week that the billionaires have figured out their new environmental procedures for their companies from getting together in the wonderful Sun Valley with all of their private jets. I do worry about the current protests going on with like the Writers Guild and the Screen Actors Guild, because the billionaires are like the head of Apple, the head of Disney. Like, this is like the one time you don't want all those guys getting together in a valley with Coke and wine.
Yeah, you don't see what Mickey Mouse does in the next 3 years. Just walks around with a crowbar going, I told you guys! You know, like just taking out vigilante justice on the people. Going, leave Bob Iger alone! It'll just be, you know.
And that brings us to the end of the show. I'm flipping through the ads at the back. Alison, have you got anything to plug?
Yeah, so I'm plugging my show, 1:25 every day. It's called Soup. It's about 5% about soup at this stage. A lot about CPTSD. And worms. So if you want to come watch that, it's at 1:25 every day at the Hive One. You can see me on social media. I'm going to go on tour with this show soon. I got works in progresses in I got one show in next week, Wet in Southampton. Just go to my Instagram and go to the link tree. You'll find all the information there.
Do go and see Soup. I had brunch with Alison. We talked through the show and it is a brilliant, even when just spoken to me over toast. So it's going to be even more brilliant in a room with an audience in front of them. So, James Nukise, what have you got to plug?
I've got my Edinburgh show, actually, which is at 6:45 at the Stand 4 and is called Right About Now. And funnily enough, is about dealing with people you care about and are close to you who start going down rabbit holes and believing in dumb shit. Can I also just acknowledge for some of the Gargle listeners, not all of the Gargle listeners, but the ones who also had a small heart attack when Alison said that she was going to do her scat impersonation and didn't immediately think of music.
No, they went straight to YouTube, even if they were watching it on podcast. They're like, get me onto YouTube here.
It was such a wholesome thing in the end, and for a moment I was like, what in God's name is Alison about to do?
A very different but equally inappropriate ringtone, that. So, go and see James's show in Edinburgh. James always has a brilliant show, and it's usually a pay-what-you-want show, which means that if you're on a budget and you want to see some excellent high-quality comedy for non-billionaire prices, you can go and watch James Nokise. And we've got a book coming out. The Gargle, The Last Post, The Bugleverse has coalesced into the creation of the Dancy Lagarde Reader, which is currently sitting at about 200% funded. But you can buy a pre-order a copy of the Dancy Lagarde Reader if you go to unbound.com and type Alice Fraser into the search bar. I do not recommend typing Dancy Lagarde into the search bar because I guarantee you will spell it wrongly. But you can pre-order a copy, and the more orders of the book that we get, the more I can hire a babysitter to give me time to write them. So that's the upside of that. And also you'll get a beautiful either e-copy or hard copy of the actual book, a book that exists only because of so many stupid things happening in a row that it couldn't not. Also, I have a show in Edinburgh. It is called Twist, and it is at 8:30 p.m. at the Underbelly Bristow Square. The rest of the stuff you can find me online at patreon.com/AliceFraser. I run a weekly writers' meeting, which is just a lot of fun. patreon.com/AliceFraser. For $1 a month, you get a weekly writers' meeting, 2 salons, and a book club, which is extremely worth your money. You can also pay more money if you want to, because, you know, you value my time in a way that I don't. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. Your editor is Ped Hunter. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.